Over the past few weeks, we have been journeying together through this Advent season, and we've been focusing on a series entitled From Generation to Generation. And on each Sunday, we have looked at different people and reflected on different parts of the beginning of the Jesus story. In week one, we looked at the genealogy of Jesus, stretching 42 generations from Jesus all the way back to Abraham. We focused on some of the people in that genealogy, and we looked at some of their stories, and we're reminded that there's room for every story. The next week, we focused our attention on Mary and the experience that she had when she received the news from the angel that she was going to have a child, even though she was a virgin. We wondered how that experience might have impacted Mary, and we were reminded that God meets us in our fear. Last Sunday, our attention shifted from Mary to Joseph and how things might have unfolded for him after he received the news that Mary was expecting. At first, he was going to just divorce Mary quietly, and thinking that if he did that, then likely things would go better for him. But then after some divine intervention that came by way of an angel meeting him in the midst of a dream, Joseph chose a better way. And we were invited to consider the better way to which we are called by God. Well, today we're going to go back to the story of Mary, to a time when she visits her cousin Elizabeth. And today our focus is this: we see God in each other. Our passage today began with these words. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And the sense we get from Luke is that very soon after Mary's visitation with the angel, Mary left Nazareth and she headed to Elizabeth's home. Very likely, there wasn't a lot of time between Mary's visit from the angel and the interaction with Joseph, that she had with Joseph, to tell him that she was expecting a child, and then Joseph's dream, which helped him to decide the right thing to do was to stay by Mary's side. So all those things happened likely just before Mary then headed off to Elizabeth's. Now, we don't really know much about Elizabeth. From some scripture translations say that Elizabeth and Mary are cousins. Our translation today said that they're relatives. The Greek word that Luke uses in his passage here leaves things kind of ambiguous. But one thing that is clear is that somehow the two people, Mary and Elizabeth, they are related. Another thing we know is that Mary and Elizabeth seem to have quite an age difference between them. If you remember the angel's words, when the angel first went to Mary to give her the news that she was going to have a baby, the angel said to Mary, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." It was almost as though the angel kind of figured, here is something to help confirm all that I've said to you, Mary, comes from God. So the angel made reference to Mary's relative Elizabeth being pregnant. And the assumption that we're left with is that Elizabeth had been hoping for a child, likely for a very long time. She didn't have one, and she was at the point where she believed that it was very likely that she wouldn't have one because she was too old. Hope was gone for Elizabeth. Now, if you remember what I said about Mary a couple of weeks ago, I said that Mary, very likely, when she received the news that she was going to have a child, she was very likely just a teenager. And if that was the case, then clearly there's quite an age difference between Mary and her relative. And you know, the way I read the passage, I wonder whether for Mary, her visit to Elizabeth actually is for some kind of confirmation that she thinks she needs. I know Mary, at the what she said to the angel after her encounter with the angel with the news, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And I know that we could just assume that from that moment on, Mary was fully confident of everything. But if Mary was in any way like any of us, very likely she still would have had some questions. And even though there may have been a seed of faith within her that all things would come to pass as the angel had told her, I wouldn't be surprised if Mary still wanted to check things out for herself. The angel said to her that her elderly relative Elizabeth was pregnant, along with telling Mary that she too would be having a child. And I just wonder if Mary just kind of figures here, well, I should go. I should just go and test this out. Test what the angel just said. See whether my cousin, my relative, actually is pregnant. So just confirm the word that the angel brought to me. And so Mary ventures out to see Elizabeth so that she can check things out for herself. And let me just say here, I'm not so sure that Elizabeth even knows Mary is coming at this point. I don't know that for sure. I mean, perhaps there was an arrangement between the families that once the news had hit the family that Mary was expecting, that she needed to go off for a little bit of time to see her relative. But I'm not so sure that was the case. I think it's possible that there may have been an open invitation extended from Elizabeth to relatives saying, if ever you're passing this way, please do stop by for a visit. But I wonder if that might have been the extent of it. No other pre-existing arrangement at all. And I wonder whether Mary just decided after the angel's visit that she's going to take Elizabeth up on her offer. Our passage told us today that Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, when Pat was reading that passage today, did you notice Elizabeth's words to Mary after Mary had greeted Elizabeth? Verse 42, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You know, I'm not so sure I can imagine any better words of greeting to Mary than those words uttered by her relative Elizabeth. Remember the likely state of Mary, what she was in, how she was likely feeling. She'd just been told that she was going to give birth to God. There would have been so much swirling around inside of her. All sorts of emotions, all sorts of thoughts, all sorts of fears, all sorts of questions. It's possible that here, by this time, Mary wasn't in the greatest of places. That she was still trying to kind of process, trying to work out what on earth is going on. I'm not so sure I can think of any better words for Mary to hear than the ones spoken to her by Elizabeth. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And you know, because Mary's visit to Elizabeth happened so soon after Mary's visitation by the angel, I wouldn't be surprised if prior to that visit, Elizabeth didn't have a clue of anything going on with Mary. I wouldn't be surprised if word hadn't yet gotten out telling her that Mary was going to have a baby. I wouldn't be surprised if prior to the visit, Elizabeth was completely in the dark. All she knew at that point was that she herself was going to be having a baby in a few months. And yet as Mary entered the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Mary said hello to her cousin, Elizabeth could see something in Mary. And she knew without a doubt that she was looking into the face of the Mother of God. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? If Mary had had any questions in her, if Mary was holding on to any fears, if Mary was in any way wondering what on earth is going on, through the words of her cousin Elizabeth, it became clear to Mary that God had everything, everything under control. It became clear to Mary that while there may still be some questions, Elizabeth would be by her side and would be a reminder to her of the never-failing steadfastness of God. When Elizabeth looked at Mary, as Mary entered into her home, Elizabeth caught a glimpse of God right before her eyes. As her eyes beheld the mother of her Lord standing right there before her. In Mary, Elizabeth could see God. And you know, I believe that in Elizabeth, Mary also could see God. Mary could see the generous welcome of God as she looked at Elizabeth standing there at the door's threshold. Mary could see a love that knew no boundaries. She could see the arms open wide to someone whose life was, to say the least, in a little bit of turmoil. For Mary, the presence of Elizabeth was for her God wrapping arms of love around her, saying, I'm here for you. I'm here with you. Mary, it's going to be okay. Any fear that might have been bottled up inside of Mary up to this point was met with the courageous courage of Elizabeth. At that point, Elizabeth had enough courage for the two of them. What a difference it can make when you see God in another person. What a difference it can make when you look at others and catch a glimpse in them of the divine. What a difference it makes when somebody stands at a threshold of life and lets you know that they're going to be there with you. They're going to be there for you. They're going to be standing by your side. I believe that's what Mary needed in that moment. I believe more than any need simply to get out of Nazareth, more than any need simply to get away from the whispers about her that people might be muttering behind her back, more than any need simply to spend some time away from home in preparation for what would be coming, Mary needed to have somebody standing at that threshold in her life, helping her to see God and to know God's presence with her. For Mary, Elizabeth was like a spiritual midwife, helping Mary to give birth to something life-changing within her. Helping her to become the person God created her to be. Helping her to be fully ready. Ready to give birth in time to the timeless Son of God. Elizabeth stood at the threshold and helped Mary catch a glimpse of God. Can you think of people who have been like Elizabeth for you? Can you think of people who have stood at various thresholds in life with you, who revealed God's presence to you and helped you to experience God's love? As I think back over the years, I can think of many people who have been like one standing at a threshold for me. People in whom I've seen God, people through whom I've been reminded of God's ongoing presence with me. Mandy has been such a person for me, one who has walked with me and stood beside me in shadow-like times. I can think of others as well. I think of someone who met me at a time of transition, who was a stabilizing presence for me. One I knew I could count on. One who in words and actions let me know that he could see God in me. I met this person the very first time I connected with this church back when I came to be interviewed nearly 29 years ago. His name was Daryl. Many of you will remember him. We stayed at, our family stayed at his family's home the night before my interview. And I remember sitting up late in the evening, late at night, with Daryl, just talking about the church and trying to get a sense, trying to discern from God what God was saying to me in this seeking out a new place. And you know, even after I became pastor of Holy Trinity, up until his death, Daryl was always someone who was there for me. Somebody who I felt had my back. Somebody who very easily revealed the presence of God to me. When I arrived for that interview, it was a time of uncertainty for me. A time when I wasn't sure what God was saying. And Daryl willingly stood there at that threshold with me. And his presence with me at that threshold gave me the assurance that God was there too. And over the years, Daryl gave me the encouragement to take steps to lead this congregation. I could see God in him, and because of that, I was reminded that God was with me. Just imagine what the world would be like if we were open to see God living in the people around us. Just imagine what the world would be like if people were open to being bearers of God amongst others, willing to stand at the threshold of people's lives to reveal God's presence to them. Think for a moment of the people who have been there for you. People who have been there at important thresholds in your life. I've heard from people in this church who've gone through difficult times in the past how others from this church stood in the gap with them and reminded them of God's love for them and God's presence with them. I've heard from people in this church of times when others stood with them in times of need and helped ground them in the reassurance that God was at their side. Just imagine what the world might be like if people were open to see God living in the people around them. And I'm not just talking about God living in the people that you know. Just imagine what the world would be like if we were open to see God, and I mean really see God, in every person we meet. And if all those people could see God living in us. Just imagine what things could be like if there were people standing on the thresholds of life who revealed the love, generosity, and presence of God to us, and if we were able to do and be the same for others. You know, the extent to which we're open to seeing the divine in others has a direct impact on how we live and how we move in the world. And the way we're open to seeing the divine in others consequently makes a fundamental difference on how those people see themselves as well. And how those people experience for themselves the reality that God loves them and that God is with them. When we look at every person we meet as being a child of God, when we look at every person we meet and see in them the face of Jesus, then we begin to treat them differently. And transformation is kindled within them, and transformation is brought to the world. A world full of people who desperately need Jesus. A world full of people who desperately need to be reminded of the fact that God is with them, that God is for them, that God loves them, and that God will stand by them forever and always. When we look at every person we meet as being a child of God, when we allow others to see God living in us, not merely because of the things we say, but more importantly by the way we live like Jesus, then we will become midwives of God. Midwives of God's coming kingdom and partners with God in the transformation of the world. Elizabeth saw God in Mary. Mary saw God in Elizabeth. And I believe because of that, they were then shaped out to live out their purposes. One to be the mother of John the Baptist, one to be the mother of Jesus. I want to leave you with some questions that I encourage you to reflect on this coming week. First one is this. What have been some of the threshold moments in your life when you needed to be reminded of God's presence with you? What have been some of those threshold moments for you? Who were some of the people in those times who revealed God to you? In what way have you stood at the threshold for others, allowing them to experience God's presence? And who might need you at a threshold in their life right now? And how might you reveal God to them? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we thank you for all the ways you reveal your love towards us. We thank you for people who have stood by us at those threshold moments when we've needed them, who have revealed you to us. Lord, we give you thanks for them, for their purpose, for their presence. And Lord, we want to be such people for others. We want to stand at those threshold moments for others. Give us the courage to do that. Point out ways that we can do that. Lord, help us to see you in the people around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.